dream a Christmas morn, and all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find, but we never realized a baby born that blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts and the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung dying in the rain because of love, because of love. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us the
Thank you. All right, we're back in Proverbs, and we finished. We spent many, probably a couple months, on finances. Now we're going to talk about another subject. Remember, the book of Proverbs, the best way to study the book of Proverbs is by subjects. It's not really, you read some of the New Testament, some of the other books that you can kind of outline it because there are subjects in a chapter or so forth. Really, Proverbs is not geared that way. Proverbs is geared towards subjects, and then different types of individuals. Today, we're going to look at anger, okay? Anger, the angry man. Of course, we understand that the whole goal of Proverbs is wisdom, the key verse we leave there, but anger. Anger is very destructive. Must be avoided. Ruins relationships. How many relationships, marriages, relationships between parents and children are ruined because somebody has an issue with anger? Do you know anger can ruin your health? It's just not good. Now, let me say this. Everybody, to some extent, gets angry. We're talking about, and as we go through it, you'll kind of understand. As we spend time looking at the subject, you'll kind of understand the difference. Not that I can give it all to you right now, but we're talking about an excessive anger, outburst, reactions, uncontrolled, that cause major, major problems. People that get angry at the drop of a hat, and as someone has said, they're willing to be the one to drop the hat. Anger. Now, let me say this. Look at the verse there in Ephesians. Anger itself is not a sin. Okay, Ephesians tells us, chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry. Oh, there's a catch. Okay. Be ye angry, next phrase, and sin not. Okay? So there is an anger that's all right as long as you can control it to where you don't act wrong or do something that is wrong. Anger is better if it's kept under control. That's why he says sin not. Make sure it doesn't linger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Although there is a time to be angry. By the way, there is a time to be upset about some things in the proper way. Although that's true, the angry man doesn't know when that time is and just loses it at all times. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for a bishop must be blameless. Talk about a leader in the church, the steward of God, not self-willed, not what? Soon angry. Losing it. It's something that the New Testament tells us as Christians. It's one of the characteristics that we should put off. We shouldn't have it. Look at the verses here. Colossians. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Man, anger's keeping bad company. Okay, some of those things are really bad, and he throws anger in there. We ought to put these off. Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. What's the flip side? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, that's telling us the flip side of anger, how to take care of it. Anger is a manifestation, and I'm not talking, look, you know, I think it was D.L. Moody said, I wouldn't give you a dime for a guy that couldn't get a little upset about the right things. When I'm talking about anger, I'm talking about out of control, causing you to do that which is wrong. But you notice it's a manifestation of a self-control problem. People can't control themselves. That's a dangerous place to be at. Addicts and those that have addictive type behavior that have trouble with self-control usually have anger issues also. Because once a lack of self-control enters in, there's all kinds of problem. Now understand this. Constant anger would be a sign of an immature Christian. Okay, look at the verses in James. Talking about trials that God allows our way, and what's the purpose behind them and what it's supposed to produce in our life. Look what he says. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. Perfect means you never do anything wrong. It means mature. So you may be perfect or mature and entire. That means complete. As a Christian, you have everything you need to live for God and do the right things. Wanting nothing. Want just means lack. God says one of the reasons he allows things into our life is so that we will learn patience, because patience makes us mature. As a Christian, patience makes us complete and make sure we don't lack what we need to live for God and live the Christian life. Patience. Anger is the opposite of patience. Out of control. Quick. Patience. James said an impatient person is a immature Christian. There's no way around it. James 1:9. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear. That would be good. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Not getting angry. Now, we're going to look tonight at some characteristics of the angry man. And this is going to take a lesson or two. And we are going to give you some things to help you with it. But I want you to look at these things. Maybe you struggle in some of these areas. Let me just say, let's not excuse it. Let's deal with it. It's destructive. Okay? Damaging. Number one, the angry man handles the situations of life just like the fool would. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. A man of wicked devices is hated. Foolishly. Now, remember when we started Proverbs, we said there were three types of people. There were the foolish man, the one who ignores and defies God's principles. There's the simple man, the man who doesn't understand God's principles. And then there's the wise man. The wise man is the one who has the ability to put God's principles into practice. Now, we also said you don't have to be a fool necessarily to sometimes act in a way that is foolish. And anger that is not controlled is one of the things that will cause you to act in a foolish manner. Foolish. Soon angry. Soon means short. Dealeth foolishly, to act, to react. A person with a short fuse or a short temper. I've seen these kind of people before, particularly in family situations, and you try to deal and help with them, and you almost see sometimes the family members almost like they're timid, and they're walking on eggshells because they never know when, if it's dad, when dad's going to be in a bad mood or he's going to blow up. That's not a way to live. That's not healthy. Family shouldn't come home wondering what kind of mood this person is in, whether it's a lady. It can be a lady too, by the way. Let's not just blame the men, although men are usually knuckleheads in that area. But coming home like, I wonder what kind of mood he's in today. Wonder what kind of mood she's in. Okay, it causes you to act foolishly, to do foolish things. Anger does that. I remember many years ago when I was a teenager, I don't know why I remember this, I was watching the news, and I think it was up here on the 91 freeway. One of the news trucks was driving, and they saw some guy. What had happened is his car broke down the side of the road. He had an old Volkswagen. And the camera stopped and filmed him because he got so mad that his car broke down, he grabbed a crowbar, and he was out in the freeway bashing that car in. He was just beating it. And the camera just got out and said, hey, it's like this guy's just bam, bam, bam. Now, I could understand that if it was a Ford, okay? Sorry. He lost his temper. And here he is out in the middle of everybody acting like a complete fool. We don't want to act like a fool. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3, it says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Anger causes us to make foolish decisions and take foolish actions. Think of any decisions that you've made when you were angry. You usually regret them, don't you? You know, never make a decision when you are emotionally struggling. Always sleep on it. Sometimes people, it hasn't happened lately, but sometimes, you know, maybe in a marriage or something, someone's, they're having a serious, serious problem, a fight or something. They'll call, I'm just ready to do this. It's like, hey, just stay away from each other. Get a good night's rest. We'll talk in the morning. Do you know what happens in the morning? It's okay. They're overreacting to what's going on, and anger's out of control. It's just like, just get away from each other for a little bit. Calm down. Now, if someone's got a frying pan or a gun in their hand, you might want to do something about that, all right? It's like, we're out of control. And we do foolish. Have you, think of all of us in here, can you think of some time that you were angry and you did something? It's like, why in the world did I do that? I remember many years ago at the old church, we had the church over on Anaheim. It wasn't really a church, it was a gray box. And we used to have basketball leagues, and we had outreach. And this is probably 20 years ago, 20-something years ago. And so our church, we put together a team, and I was playing. And we had a bunch of people from the community that came in. They weren't really church people, and we're playing basketball on there. And so we're playing. Now we kind of put it together ourselves. It wasn't a really nice court. I think Pastor Esposito put it together. He dug a hole out, and they put it in the and so the metal pipe, the thick metal pipe that held the basketball hoop up was on the court. It was like on the out of bounds line, so you kind of had to avoid it. And so this guy was covering me, which, you know, playing bat, that's hard for anybody to cover me, but he was trying. What are you laughing at? And so I was trying to chase him around, and I was much younger and faster in those days. But I was running, I was cutting through the lane. And I came from the outside, and the guy had the ball, so I was trying to clear out for him. So I ran down, I started cutting, and he was following me. And I saw it in his eyes before it ever happened. I could see it's almost in slow motion, the plan formulating in his mind that I was running. I'm like, he is not going to do this. And I'm running full speed through the lane, and two steps before the pole, he pushed me, so I ran into it. Pastor was there. By the way, here's the worst part. The team that I was playing on was guys I work with. At that time, in the early days of the church, I was working in a warehouse. And I worked on third shift, and I think there was five of us. And so I said, why don't we have a team in this league? I was trying to reach them. Like, come to church. So that was my team. I'm the Christian. And the guy pushed me right into the pole. Say, what'd you do? I got up in his face, and I pushed him. They're all like, whoa. All the teenagers, oh. And then he came towards me like, I pushed him again. And then two things happened. I realized that's not Christian. And he's twice as big as me. But I was upset. And I had to go. And here's all the guys I'm trying to reach for the Lord look at me like, yeah. Now, it would have been nice, like, hey, this guy's twice my size. You want to jump in here? Anytime you want to get between us, that'd be a good thing. And I had to have some humble pie and go apologize to him and tell him it was a bad testimony and all that. And look, we all do, I wasn't going to say stupid, we all do foolish things when we're angry. We got to be very careful about that. We cannot let anger cause us to react, because if we do, we're going to act like a fool. Well, you know, I could have justified it. That guy pushed me into a metal pole. I'm running full speed. What's wrong with him? We can't justify it. Anger's anger. We have to deal with it. Number two, an angry man will create and increase problems for all those whom he is around. An angry man will create and increase problems for all those whom he is around. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. An angry man, Proverbs 22:29-22, stirreth up strife, and a furious man abound in transgression. You know this. If you've ever been around people that have anger problems, they cause trouble for everybody they're around. I don't know if you remember this, Robert. Do you remember over off of Cherry and South Street, there used to be a pizza place. I forget if it was Round Table or one of those two. And we used to go hang out there on Friday. This is before we were saved. Robert still isn't, but I am. We're in high school. So we would go hang out over there. And there was a buddy of ours, and he would always cause trouble. Pastor used to tell the story because he was there the night this happened. So was I. Inside of the pizza place, there was a riot. I know the guy that started it. He was with us. And I saw it coming. He always was causing trouble. And he'd get all mad about the stupidest little thing, and he was in there. I'm like, here it comes. Now, I had a perfect view. They had windows, and I saw it coming. I'm like, it's crowded here. I'm going to go outside. So I went outside, and it was on, and I just stood by the window. I mean, people were flying. Faces were pushed up against the window, you know. It was on, and he started it. And every time we were there, he would start trouble. I learned to avoid him. And that's what a furious man does. That's what an angry man does. They cause trouble not for themselves, but for everybody they come in contact with. Anger stirreth up, to accelerate or to dig up. Some people, it seems like they're always looking for trouble. They're always looking for something to be upset about. They're always looking for some type of fight to get into. That's very dangerous. The person who is quick to anger and quick to take offense at perceived slights and offensive stirs up strife even when none exist and increases it where it exists only in the early stages. Remember, in the early days of our church, we've told you, when we were on Anaheim, we used to reach a lot of we were a teenage church at that time. We basically had a bunch of brothers. I don't know if were you there on Anaheim? Deborah was. And we had a lot of gangbangers, and it was like we had security out there for a reason. We had gang fights. One of the kids in our school got shot. Don't worry, no one's getting shot now. We're good. It was us all kinds. It was just drunk. And I remember one time there was a little situation out. They used to try to come in. We'd hang out by the thing and not let them come in and cause trouble. Some of the kids were getting saved, and some of the other ones would come to kind of just to cause trouble, and we would shoo them out. But I remember we had a little situation there, and we had diffused it. And one guy was there, and once we had it diffused, he just kept stirring it up. It's like, hey, it's over. Be quiet. It was one of the guys that came to our church. I was like, stop it. That's what an angry man does. Stirring up strife, causing issues for everybody. Everywhere they go, their mark is made in negative ways. If you work somewhere, you could probably think of someone like this. I hope it's not you, okay? But you can think of someone like this. By the way, I hope in your home you're not like this. See, anger doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody. Maybe in your family or your relatives at large. By the way, sometimes, not to that extent, but you can have that in the church. Now, thank God we have a great church, okay? Sometimes, you know, you can get someone and they just always stirring up little things, okay? Let it go. Let it go. Friends, you want a sign that you're like this? So how can I tell if maybe I'm like this? Wise people and those closest to you avoid you. Am I like that? You see anger, it causes us to act harmful towards others. Look at Proverbs 27:4. It says this, wrath, which is another form of anger, is cruel. And anger is outrageous. See, when we have anger problems, we can't help it. We are going to hurt other people. It's cruel. You don't see that the things you're doing and the way that you're acting is just, it's not just not right, it is cruel. Not acting justly. Well, see, I didn't see it that way in the heat of the moment because you let your anger take control. We got to be very careful about that. Well, you know, they deserved it. No, they didn't deserve it. No one deserves that. We do crazy things. He says, and anger is outrageous. Number three. Not only, of course, is number two true, they cause trouble for others, but number three, an angry man is always getting himself into trouble. Always. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, thou must do it again. We'll look at that in a minute. Always getting himself to trouble. Problem after problem after problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. It's just, you ever meet someone? Just different day, different problem, but it's always a problem. Could it be the issue is not everybody else? Could it be the issue is internal? Problem after it changes, the problem changes, but it is still there. Why? Anger does that. It gets you into bad situation. It causes problem. They're hard to help. They don't want to get help. They don't want to get to the root of the problem. Most people are just trying to avoid the consequences of their action. They're not trying to avoid the action itself. By the way, this type of person, and I'm not trying to be cruel here, that's the fourth point, I wouldn't waste my time helping them. Remember many years ago, I had the single ministry. We were over at the old building, and this guy's telling me all these problems he was having. I got to tell you my problems. And it was because of what he was doing. He started telling me his problems. I'm like, you can get help with this. He goes, oh. He goes, I don't want you to help me. He goes, I don't want to hear it. I just want to tell you what's going on. And I wasn't as nice in those days. I said, go ahead, continue. And he started talking. While he was talking, I just turned and walked away. He goes, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you don't want help. I don't want to hear your problems. I got enough stuff to listen to. I don't want to hear about it unless you want some help because you're going to depress me. I have this going on in my life. Can you help me get rid of this? Is that helpful? Most problems are directly related to the style of life we live. I'm going to tell you that. Most problems we have are directly related to the style of life we live. And anger is one of the worst. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You think? When you get mad, you're not thinking about going soul winning. When you're mad, you're not thinking about how can I be a blessing in Sunday school class. You're not thinking about Christmas gift for Jesus, although you probably should. Okay, you're not thinking about anything that's right. You're upset. And you start formulating these plans in your mind. I'll get back at that person. What? I'm going to buy him a gift. I'm going to treat him nice. No, you're not thinking like that. Because that's not how anger reacts. Ask yourself this question. Do my reactions poison everything I do? When things happen, does the way I react to it make things worse or does it make things better? Number four, this goes with it. Helping an angry man with his problems without getting to the root of the problem is a waste of time. We've already mentioned this. It says at the end of that verse, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Why? You know, sometimes maybe we need to let the consequences of their actions set in so they quit doing what they're doing. Maybe God's trying to teach them something through the negative consequences, and we keep bailing them out so they can go to another negative consequence. You're not helping them. Especially moms and dads, particularly mothers, when you have adult grown children and they start getting into situations and you're constantly bailing them out. Can I just tell you something? I ain't bailing anybody out. I had relatives I wouldn't bail out. I had a relative that was struggling with some drug addiction. And they wanted help with their money and then that didn't work. And so came to me and said, I'm out of money. We don't have any food in the house. We have nothing to eat. I don't get paid till Friday. Well, that was because he spent his money on drugs. I said, no problem. Have your wife and children come over to eat. You can't eat. I'm not feeding you. Yeah. Why in the world am I? Now, his children and his wife shouldn't suffer. They can eat with us. But I ain't feeding you. You don't like that, do you? So I'm going to feed him so that when he gets paid, he can take that money and spend it on drugs again. Uh-uh. Starve. They'd come to, oh, you know, I'm out of money. I need gas for work. Hitchhike. You want to drink your money? You want to snort your money? Then you walk to work. Why would I? There's consequences that they need to understand, so maybe they'll get it in their head. Okay, you don't like me anymore, but that's okay. I never liked you in the first place. I'm kidding. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say we help them with the consequences, and we don't get to the root of the problem, and so next week it's a different consequence. Next week it's a different consequence. Hey, why don't we get to the root of the problem? The root of a lot of the problems is no self-control, and it's manifested in anger. Let's deal with the anger, not the problem that the anger has caused. Well, my marriage relationship is blown apart because I have an anger problem. We'll deal with the marriage later. You need to get over your anger now. We'll work on that. We'll try to keep it together. But if you don't work on your anger, forget it. Just another problem, another day, and you're still going to have issues. Get to the root of the problem. It's like putting a bandage on a broken bone. That's not going to work. That thing needs to be set. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be put in the right position. It needs to be healed. Get to the root. A person's ability to get help is dependent on their willingness to admit and to deal with the root of the problem. I just want you to help me with this thing. I don't want to deal with that. Then go your way. I can't help you. I know that sounds cruel, and I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to say, do you want to just help somebody for a day, or do you want to help them for the rest of their life? Do you want help for a day, or do you want help from now on? Get to the root. Look, you know, a weed whacker is worthless. You know why? And I had one. And I get out there and I don't want to. You know, it's funny. Grass grows everywhere but where you want it to grow. You have a bald spot on your lawn, but the grass grows in the dirt where the roses are. Can you? What is that all about? So you get a weed whacker, and it's like, boom. We put a playground in our backyard, and right where the dirt is, grass wouldn't grow where the grass is supposed to grow, but it's growing where the playground is. And there was a lot of it. I don't want to dig it out right now. I'll get someone else to do that later. You get the weed whacker. It's going to grow right back because all the roots are there. A weed whacker's just cutting off the top, but the roots are still there. It'll be there next week waiting for you. You got to get rid of the roots. Same thing with anger. Admit it. Be willing to deal with it. If you're not willing to admit it and you're not willing to deal with it, get comfortable in going from problem to problem to problem to problem. That's your life. Now, if you want, I could say something cute and soft. That ain't going to help you. I'm telling you the truth. You want to hear something that sounds good, or you want to hear something that'll help you? Get to the root of any problem, not the fruit. Look, if you want to get rid of the fruit on the tree, de-root it and pull the whole tree out, and the fruit will be gone. Let's deal with it. Number five. An angry person is someone you do not want to be a close friend of or spend time with. Sorry. An angry person is someone you do not want to be a close friend with or spend time with. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, thou shalt not go. Why? There are several reasons. We'll get to another one in a minute, but you're going to feel the brunt of that wrath. All the trouble they cause when you're with them. I remember many years ago, when I was a teenager, a buddy and I, we went to get his mom something at the store, and we were walking home, and a block from our house, there was some guys having a party. They were gang kind of guys, you know, and we were down the street. We lived down the street. We walked by them, and the teenagers just call it sweating. You know, they give you that look and kind of look at you like they're, what are you doing? And they said some things or whatever. We just ignored them, and we left, and they let it go. And then when we got close to our house, about a half a block away, he turned around and said, "Hey!" And they looked. And then he started saying things to them. All of a sudden, he was brave. And, I mean, he really said, he said some things that, he said a lot of bad things. And I'm like, this guy's crazy. And they were looking at us, and we were so far away, they didn't do anything. And then we went into our house. We dropped off what we got for his mom. We came around the corner, and here came a couple of those guys. They came down by our house, and they were really close. And one of the guys had a machete. And one of the guys pointed them out and said, "That's them. Look at, you know, what did you do?" I ran. Knife equals not good. Okay, I was jumping fences. We were out of there. There's a guy chasing us with a machete. He went into our apartment complex and was banging on doors looking for us. Did these guys run in here? It's like, get out of here. They called the police finally. But listen, if we wouldn't have been far away, now I could have outran him, so he would have got killed first. But it's like, because he got mad and ran his mouth and acted like an absolute ninny. But when you hang around with angry people, the trouble they cause, you're getting in on that. And by the way, let me say this. They talk about, well, you know, this I have justified. They'll tell you why they're justified to be angry at everybody else, and then you listen to their whining and take their side. Can I just tell you something? It's a matter of time before that anger comes to you. By the way, let me say this. If you're not married, don't you ever consider somebody who has an anger issue. Say, how do you tell? Well, with you, they're going to try to be good. But if they're always angry at everybody else and they're telling you about everything, once you get married, you're just like everybody else. You're in. Bible says stay away from them. Oh, no, I can, ladies, you know, oh, I can help him. I can change him. Yeah, right. No, you don't understand. He loves me so much. He said he would do anything for me. I know. And you slip the ring on his finger, and that's out the window. Okay, I'm being facetious here. But listen, anger is dangerous. Anger is dangerous. You need to be very, very careful. God says don't hang around with them. Okay? By the way, you say, man, I'm, look, I'm married to somebody, and their anger, and they're physical. There's a very easy way to fix that. Call 911. You have zero patience for that nonsense. Zero. Look, you're not a man if you hit a woman. You touch a woman, you're not a man. 911. So, but you don't understand the trouble he's going to get in. He needs to get in trouble. Okay, don't bail him out. Okay. We need to understand there's consequences of the actions. And people need to change, but let's be very, very careful. And I think we need to stop there. Let's stop. Let's pray.